The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, all I got to say is, Michael Jackson, I went to the plate. I took a couple of cuts for you, man. I think that you're an innocent guy. I realize you're a freak of nature and you look like something out of the night gallery. But that doesn't make you necessarily guilty. But I'm going to tell you something right now, baby. If you are, you better run, man. You better run and you better hide. Although that bag of nuts that you had up there, that bag of walnuts up there with their signs, Michael's innocent, I mean, I'm sure they'd all take you in. You can do no wrong, man, even if you're molesting kids. I don't know whether the guy's guilty or innocent. The people that think that he is, yeah, well, so he touched a kid 10 years ago. What's that got to do with anything? I don't know what happened. There was a lawsuit, and there's been a target against this guy for a long time. But the latest news now is they've got some testimony from a psychiatrist who is not prone to find molestation. He tends to, I don't know how you can do that either. Isn't that interesting? Is somebody going to, is someone going to sue now because one psychiatrist believes something's molestation and another doesn't? You know, frankly, that's what it's come down to. That's what it's up to. It's up to the interpretation of a psychiatrist as to whether a child has been molested or not. For instance, let me give an example. How many of you guys are into art? I'm sure there's people that are into art. You go down to the art gallery and look at the big paintings, don't you? Sure you do. And have you ever seen the one with the little pixie with her ass hanging out as she's looking into the water there? And the little kids with their clothes half off? And they're all very ancient pictures, paintings from the 14th century, the 15th, 16th century. There was a period there where children were celebrated in art in a very erotic way. Just go to any art gallery that features art from 16th, 17th, 18th century. You'll know exactly what it is I'm talking about. That stuff's sitting in an art gallery. It's over there at the L.A. County Museum of Art. It's over there at the Norton Simon or whatever city you're living in. These are paintings by renowned painters, and it shows children depicted in a very erotic way, and people are going in and looking at them going, well, isn't that beautiful, the use of color? Look at how the sun bounces off the ceiling fan onto the, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about, but the fact is, so when are you going to go in and take those paintings down? Huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So that ain't it, huh? Well, that's not why they did it, Phil. How do you know why they did it? How do you know why they did it? Do you know that Lewis Carroll was alleged to have been in love with the little girl that he based Alice in Wonderland on? How about that? You going to read that to your kids anymore? Or are we going to take on that mid-80s mentality that we all had, which is let's just burn all the books, take them out of all the libraries, because we're going to be perfect. We're going to be a perfect society. And when somebody asks the question, well, which books are right and which books are wrong? Well, I guess we're just going to have to elect a council of idiots to decide on that. Generally, some woman who's very stern-looking with the sort of the bifocals, and she's got kind of the jumper and the throw-up bib on her shoulder, and she's, an activist, and get out of here. A lot of that stuff was female-driven, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with women being active. But I'm going to tell you something that you ain't going to like. A lot of this stuff, and when I say stuff, I'm talking about these false charges of molestation. I'm not talking about the real deal. Was driven by a certain kind of female hysteria. Sorry, I know that makes me a complete and utter slob in the minds and the... But it was... The whole McMartin thing was started by some psycho woman out there in wherever the hell it was, the South Bay. And a Michael Jackson thing, I think, is being pumped by the same kind of mental illness. But having said everything that I just said, Jackson, if you aren't innocent, they ought to put you in some kind of a new cage. I don't know. But today, there was not only the statement that this psychiatrist is extremely conservative. A couple of legal people have said, look, you're not going to bring these charges unless you have hard evidence. Now, I there have been many people who've been innocent when they said they had hard evidence. For instance, O.J., look at how innocent he was. Oh, I'm sorry. Probably the wrong example. But anyway, there have been many men railroaded, many men and women in the history of this world railroaded. However, having said all of that, just the preponderance of the news these days, it ain't looking good for Michael Jackson. So, brother, I'm just going to tell you, a few of us went on a limb real early for you. When everybody was checking in with the Michael Jackson's a child molester thing, and I got no use for the guy, and he's a freak of nature. Look, I know how to read people pretty good, and I knew that the early anti-Michael Jackson hysteria was based upon the fact he's a freak, he grabs his crotch a lot, he makes that kind of vague Negro music, and he's just, he ain't all that, man. He ain't all this. He's weird. That's what it was. Now we're getting a little bit more of this stuff. And, of course, all those cats will tell you, well, I knew it all along. You didn't know anything, okay? What you knew, man, I could stick in a thimble. Don't tell me what you knew. Dickerman is an attorney who is associated with this case. His name's William Dickerman, former attorney for the mother of Michael Jackson's cancer-stricken child. He says, quote, is a DA really going to put into gear the machinery of an entire district attorney's office on a case involving such a renowned person without having a stronger basis than a he said, she said? Of course, he's just asking the question. He's not answering it, is he? The second part of all of that is that, you know, there's a little bit of prejudice against this Santa Barbara DA, and I'm right at the top of the list because he started off with this case acting like such a freaking rube. I mean, you talk about a farmer in the Dell. This guy had the kicking machine, and the mice were driving him nuts and everything. What a hick. Y'all, come on up to Santa Barbara. How in the hell are you going to start a case like this with some guy with a hayseed in his freaking teeth like a guy like this? So, he wasn't helping himself. According to this Dickerman, there's plenty of persuasive oral evidence. I don't know what that means. What does that mean, persuasive oral evidence? There's a little boy who is making claims. If you know anything about that McMartin case, I keep going back to it, there were a lot of little kids making claims. They were saying all kinds of things. At one point, they were claiming they were being flown 3,000 miles to devil-worshipping ceremonies and being forced to dig six-foot-deep trenches to put dead animals into. Until somebody finally woke up and said, how likely is it that a five-year-old child is going to dig a trench 6 feet deep? In any event, including findings of molestation by a very conservative psychologist. All I got to say is, Jackson, if you turn this whole thing into some kind of a three-ring circus, man, people are going to get really angry. And when you're jumping up and top and down on a van and everything, you can do whatever the hell you want, okay? But if you're screwing around and you're making light of something you did, like you actually molested this kid, and you're dancing on top of a van, and you think you're different from people, you think that you can molest children, and because you were molested as a child, or because your old man is a piece of walking garbage like everybody says he is, I don't know, I haven't met him, but I'll take your word for it, that you can stand there with a parasol twirling over your head. Hey, by the way, that, you know, umbrella looks real great. Why don't you put on a pair of spats, a top hat, and then dance down the middle of Bourbon Street? Maybe somebody will throw you a quarter. Freaking guy walking around with a damn umbrella. Yeah, I get it. You got a skin problem. I'll bet you got a skin problem. If you didn't have six holes in your nose, you wouldn't have a skin problem. Getting so sick and tired, man, of putting my faith in people, and then I turn around, I've been chumped again. And you know what? It's my own damn fault. It's my own fault. Just like when I wanted to vote for that guy, Dean. And look what he turned out to be. You don't think we're done with that, do you? You don't think I'm going to leave that alone, do you? Boy, they jumped all over that, all of the gags about Dean. Apparently, Letterman said his head exploded. Somebody else said something like, lay off the Red Bull. That was beautiful. That was a great line. He's done. He's finished. He's almost as done as this Jackson's going to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of being a freaking chump. That's why I react the way I do. That's why I don't believe Kobe Bryant. That's why I'm not buying any of it anymore. Janice brought me a story today about some high school kid. He's thrown in jail for 10 years because he had sex with a chick that was 16. He's 18. They say he raped her. You know what? Good. Rotten jail. And Janice's point, which is a good one, is what if the kid, all he did was had sex with this girl? You know, the law in Georgia is not intended to put a guy in jail for 10 years because he had sex with an underage girl, but he's 18, she's 16. I mean, the spirit of the law here somehow is not being upheld. And while I want to say you're right, how do I know? Because I read the rest of the story. Apparently, the kid has been a behavior problem at the school. The girl reported him to the authorities. They say it was rape. He says it was consensual. She sort of did say that too, but maybe then she didn't. Ah, screw you, kid. You're done. I got a word of advice. Just don't go out and have sex with anything under the age of 18. I don't care how cute she is. I don't give a crap whether she's your best friend's daughter. I don't, you know, whatever it is. Take it from me. Yes, that's right. It happened to me. I met her, took her to dinner. She was 15, and at the end of the night, all I could say was, and I knew I was in trouble. 1-800-449-8686. I'm just joking about that because there's probably some do-gooder out there that's going to want to turn me in. Coming up, we have Brass Villanueva, who is filing a lawsuit. Brass is a former waiter at the Surrey Steakhouse chain. He's filing a racism lawsuit because he was telling people to finish what was on their plates, and if they didn't, he would sit down and tell them how poor Mexicans are, and the people told him to get lost, and the steakhouse fired him, and he said, well, they're racists. We're going to find out about his story. Doug Danger will be with us tonight with the just a partial reading of the 100 most influential country artists of all time. Doug's a gay man and a gay journalist, so he's got the real perspective and not the bullcrap country music radio thing. All right, so that's it. That's all the show we have, and if you don't like it, take a flying leap. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Brass Villanueva, a special guest, a former steakhouse employee who's suing for racial discrimination. He tells people to finish what's on their plates. They say, no, we don't want to, so he doesn't let them go until he tells them all about Mexico. They fired him because, you know, he was making people finish their desserts. Which I admire that. I see more slobs, pigs, sows, varying forms of water, buffalo, varying, you know, river-dwelling buffalo. the variety of mammalian, things that dwell in our soup plantations and our fresh choices and our, all of those buffet joints. What's the other one that has the really cool name that I said to my wife? Oh, that's very nice. Oh, super sandwich. I said, oh, look at that, honey. That's a nice play on words. And she's, oh, Jesus. And she just kept driving, staring straight ahead. But, you know, you get the all-you-can-eat in there. You ever been into that? My kids, the favorite one they got is that Fresh Choice. They want to go there all the time. Can we go to Fresh Choice? Yeah, sure. Why not? Jeez, I can feed six of you guys. Here I go again giving another commercial for a sponsor I don't have. Jesus. People hear me doing these pitches. They think, how much are you getting paid? I'm not getting nickel one. I haven't gotten a dime from, who's the guy? Don Julio, that bastard. That old, dirty bastard. I hope they find you dead of a heart attack. There. Now, do you think they're a sponsor of mine? Do you think they ever will become a sponsor of mine? Nah, I almost met him over at Cisco's there in, oh, oops, there's another brand name. So I just talk about places I've been, and I don't get nickel one. It's just that there's a place that's cooler, it's a place that's not cool, it's a place that works, a place that doesn't work. This place, Fresh Choice, though, it's like, you know, you've got them in your town. You go in, and for a family of six, which is what we have, you can feed everybody for under $60. I mean, it's $50. Yeah. I'm not kidding you, man. You go in, they got the whole big thing of salads all lined up. You know, the different, a lot of the stuff you don't, beets? No, I don't touch those, thank you. But some people like them. And all of that jazz. You go down, they got the macaroni and all of that stuff. You know, the cold noodle thing that people like to do. Then they have the purple lettuce, the purple cabbage. Then you get your drink. Then you go on in, and there now are the entrees. There's a couple of guys in the back. One of them's named Sacco and the other named Vanzetti, and they're serving up the meatballs. And they're just standing there all, you know, with their little, that little white hat that makes them look like they're working in a Russian nuclear reactor. We're going to have the sauce up in just a minute, sir. Okay, because I really, yeah. You want some pizza? No, no, I just want to have some of the marinara sauce. Okay. Hey! Hey, Bob! Bob! Yeah, we got need more marinara sauce, probably some breadsticks. Did you want to have a breadstick or not? No, no breadstick for me. Hey, your frozen yogurt machine's out. Yeah, I know. They called the guy. He's coming to fix it right now. So then you get that, and then you go over and get, I don't know, whatever. They got potatoes. Then you sit down, and then, of course, you go and get the dessert, which is the big moment for my kids because that's when they can really freewheel it. That's when they can really experiment and sort of express themselves artistically. They get the big yogurt thing that looks like it came right out of a dog's ass. You know what I'm saying, right? You know how it comes out in a swirl? And you look at it, and if you think of dog, you just, I can't eat it. Why? It's chocolate. Yeah, I know. I just can't. Well, why? What's wrong with it? It tastes so good, I can't look at it and do it. So then, you know, and then you go get the brownie and all of that stuff, and the whole thing adds up to, like, nothing. And why did I get on this? I was going to talk about Kobe Bryant, and I'm talking about buffet-style dinners. Oh, yeah, Brass, that putz, the guy we're having on the show. Anyway, Brass is going to be up. He worked at a joint like that. That's the longest promo for a segment on my show in history. But as long as I'm talking about it, Fresh Choice is a pretty good place. Now, Mark Newman, my young friend here, is about to have a baby in April. That'll be a good place to go, man. You could feed the whole family for nothing. And the baby, you know, you walk out of there with a baby, and there's nothing but chocolate all over the face. You'd swear to God you picked up the wrong kid. You know, and what is your name, Travis? Oh, I'm sorry. And you can feed everybody in there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's what I wanted to say about Kobe Bryant, and I can finish this in 2 minutes. Never will he be convicted. No way. Forget it. You don't really think Kobe Bryant's going to get... Now, Michael Jackson, they might take him down because he's too much... He's too much of a liability in a society of like ours, which fears things that are really different. I don't mean different in the Christine Aguilera pink way. I mean different in the, you know, Carnival of Souls, Night of the Living Dead way. That's Michael Jackson. We don't mind people that are different if they're kind of fun different. You know, like Boy George. He's fun different. But when they're different as in Mask of Death... If they're different as in face with no eyes, if they're different as in, you know, the bubonic plague, we don't want it. Michael Jackson will probably get sent down. He'll probably go down for a long stretch. He's probably going to be out there on the Green Mile, if you ask me. They'll give him the death penalty. Kobe Bryant, never will happen. All of you hand-wringing Laker fans, you can chin up now and you can feel good. You too, Jackson. Because Kobe's not going to get convicted of spitting on the sidewalk. He's not going to get convicted of peeing against a gas station. He is going to walk, I mean, he's going to walk the walk of a free man. It's a great country, guilty as hell, free as a bird. Forgot to mention that part. I was just reading this thing today, you know, Colorado judge plans closed hearing, Bryant accused, the conspiracy between the sports media, the mainstream media, Bryant's attorneys, this Pamela Mackey, who I have a new admiration for, kind of the way I admired Erwin Rommel. You know, kind of the way that, you know, I have kind of a distant admiration for Heinrich Himmler. I got that for that Mackey biatch. And I'm telling you right now, she is so good that Kobe Bryant's going to walk out of there clean as the Mark Newman's new baby's ass. So don't worry about it. Kobe will be back in uniform, and the Lakers will blow another series in, what? What do you figure, six? And it'll be just a beautiful thing. 1-800-449-8686. Our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Preston Villanueva and Doug Danger, our two guests tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. And we also want to remind you our website is www.philhendryshow.com. And our email address, emails, always welcome, phs@philhendryshow.com. We review them, and then we decide whether they're worth reading, quite frankly. And that's as honest as I can be with you about that one. And if you're an XM radio listener, I do want to make this note that we are on Extreme Channel 152. The Phil Hendry Show has moved to Extreme Channel 152. We air 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday, on XM. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, Kobe Bryant, let me tell you something. That guy will never, ever, ever be convicted of anything, whether he's guilty or not. Do you hear what I just said? In other words, if he's as guilty as sin, he won't get convicted. I'll tell you, there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, the DA up there, as I indicated to you guys like 3-4 months ago, this guy's a real hick. He ain't got any money. The office is out of control up there with his Hang Kobe t-shirts and this kind of bullcrap. Then you got this Pamela Mackey, who is the princess of freaking darkness up there. You got the whole thing that happens to every woman in America that's ever been raped by a prominent man, and I ain't saying Kobe did it, but if a woman in this country is raped by a prominent man, he gets himself an attorney, and the first thing they do is start looking at what a psycho case she is, what a walking slut she is, and how they can, you know, find every strip of evidence they possibly can to prove that she's a scumbag. They've begun that process with relish. On top of that, the fan base for Kobe Bryant, if you convicted that guy of rape, they'd probably riot. I'm serious. They'd probably burn down the Staples Center. That's something else you better think about. So we mentioned that yesterday. Can you convict a prominent African-American in this country, prominent entertainer who is African-American in this country, can you convict him of a crime? I mean, can you find him guilty on the evidence and convict him of that crime and not suffer some kind of a pillaging by the underclass? Notice I didn't say black. I just said underclass, because it could be a whole bunch of scrawny little white kids like I used to be, running around trying to steal stuff. I used to drive by and water balloon the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. I've been there. I've been around the block. Kobe Bryant gets convicted of rape, they'll burn down half of L.A. Michael Jackson gets convicted of child molestation, and they'll burn down the rest of the city. If they would have convicted O.J., they could have gotten the job started sooner. They could have burned down half the city then, burned the other half on Kobe, and then when Michael gets convicted, then burn San Diego. Just for good measure. Then you could burn another guy, that's Riverside. Then you can convict another guy, there goes San Francisco. And on it goes until California looks like it did last summer. Or last October, I should say. All right, 1-800-449-8686. But don't worry about it. Whether the guy's innocent or guilty, you heard it here first. He is going to walk. Walk! He ain't going to get convicted. What are you, crazy or something, man? They ain't going to convict this cat. And then he's going to go back to the Lakers, and he's going to be a sweetheart, and everybody will forget the fact that here's Kobe Bryant, a guy who pees all over his wedding vows. You see, I understand that, marriage is very lame. It's very unhip, and it's nothing that you really want to get involved in, because after all, I mean, being married is okay, but after a while, it's kind of boring, and when a man cheats, it's understandable. Isn't that right? Sure it is. Men can't be faithful. Aren't we told that? You see, guys, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to have to give you the news. You are not respected by women. And by the way, you're going to think, if I'm talking this way, I had a fight with my wife. I love my wife. I had a great day today. I'm telling you this right now. Men, bottom line, men are not respected by women. We are tolerated. We are at times enjoyed for the things that we can bring to the table. We are clung to in the middle of a storm. We are tolerated when we act childish. We are appreciated when we bring home the bacon. We are many times admired when we play with our children. But bottom line, we're not trusted. There isn't a woman alive that believes that you, Charlie, can be faithful to her for any real length of time. And why does she think that? Because it happens to be true.
Ah!
All right, let's go to a call. I don't know, but that's what I'm told. I was in a lesbian bar the other night, and every single one of them... 1-800-449-8686. Carlos?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Very fine, thanks.
I'd like to, you know, O.J., I believe he was guilty. Michael Jackson, 50-50. But I'd like to ask you, were you with Kobe Bryant in the bedroom when he was doing what he was doing?
Well, I could ask you the same thing about O.J., couldn't I?
Well, maybe.
But no, I could. Okay, just so there won't be a question, I'll ask it. Were you with O.J. that night?
No.
All right, then how do you know?
But it was my opinion on O.J., like your opinion. You have your own opinion. I have my own opinion. But
wait a minute, man. You can't ask me, was I with Kobe, and I don't get to ask you, were you with O.J.? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, what I'm
saying
is...
What kind of an argument is that? Was I with Kobe? No, but I know what he admitted to.
Here we have a string of evidence. Were you in the bedroom with Kobe Bryant and that girl?
I'd like to think that I was, yeah. No, here is what we know. We know that he's admitted to a sexual act. We know that that sexual act lasted, what was it, Janice? 5 minutes? How long was the 5 whole minutes? Now, I don't know about you, Carlos, but when I want to make love to a woman, I really give it to her for 5 minutes. It's just so romantic that way, isn't it? And consensual.
Well, maybe she was in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. And every woman likes it that way, doesn't she?
I don't know about that.
Well, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of experience with women, but I've got just enough to know 5 minutes is going to get you thrown out of any apartment, house, city, tent, igloo that I know of. I mean, that's not what I call making love to a woman, and if it's consensual, 5 whole minutes, something happened, brother.
No, I believe, I know something happened, but I don't really think, I think it was consensual.
Let me ask him, is that what you do? You say, come here, baby, bend over that chair, I'll give you 5 whole long minutes, because I'm the stud of the century. That's what you do?
Well, it works for him. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Wait. If it works for him, yeah, I'm sure it works for a lot of rapists. Let's talk about the woman. Does it work for her? Maybe she didn't even like it, and maybe she didn't even want it to happen.
Well, maybe that's why she's complaining.
Maybe that's why what?
She's complaining because she didn't like it.
Like, as in, I don't want it.
Well, I don't think it was that way, but...
Oh, okay, well, let me tell you something, Carlos. I know you're a Laker fan, but you know what? There's more to life than basketball. Find a life beyond basketball, because I know that that's really what this is about, man, isn't it?
Not really. I know he had sex with that girl, whatever.
Yes, have you ever forced yourself on a woman?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. Have you heard about me on the news?
No. I'm just asking. I'm asking, and I'll tell you why I'm asking. You know, because some guys will say, well, you know, she said no, but I mean, you know what I mean? She really did, but has that ever happened to you?
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know, because you're right. I can't say, but I will say this. The cat says that something happened sexual, and on top of that, it was a very truncated, if you will, or a shortened session of 5 minutes whereby the woman was distressed. She did everything that a rape victim is supposed to do. She went and she got a rape kit. She informed her parents. She informed the police. This wasn't a woman that was sitting and waiting and calculating and thinking and praying and, you know, sizing up the situation. And predictably, what's happening to her has happened to every woman that's ever been raped in this country. She's being vilified and being called a slut and this, that, and everything else. And look at, rest assured, Kobe Bryant is never going to go down for this. Never. Never. You know what? I mean, there's so much that we can tolerate in this country, and putting Kobe in jail ain't one of them. You'll be all right, Kobes. Just get another $4 million ring going and put that jersey back on, and we just want to see you out there on the floor. Isn't that right? Isn't that right?
Ah!
You got it, baby. Just get back out there on the floor, man, because we're finding out just how good Phil Jackson is as a coach without you, and it ain't too good. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The death of talk radio. That's what we call our latest best of CD, the best of the Phil Henry Show 2003. Why do we call it that? Because the show that we do here every day, every night, every afternoon on XM, every day on our affiliate list, every day here wherever we are, it is the death of talk radio. It's the literal just strangling and suffocating of talk radio. How do I say that? Why do I say that? Well, pick up the CD and find out. Buy it online, or you can call 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. The best of the 2003 CD. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. The best of The Phil Hendry Show. Available at www.philhendryshow.com or 877-616-7445. And may I please just add that all of the money we raise goes to my friend's place. It's a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. We do not keep any amount of the proceeds past the actual cost of the production. So you'll know that your money goes to the good people at my friend's place. The Phil Hendry Show will be back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up is Brass Phil on the way to tell us the story of being fired at the steakhouse he worked at for racism. He was telling people to finish their meal and they wouldn't do it. Doug Danger on with the 100 most influential country artists of all time, seen through the eyes of a gay man and a gay journalist, all ahead of the Phil Hendry Show. We have the top 10 automobiles sold in America, and they're all, the top three anyway, pickup trucks. The Ford F-Series, the Chevrolet Silverado, the Dodge Ram. People are driving trucks more and working less. People are actually driving trucks more and lifting stuff up less. See, just because you drive a pickup truck, Charlie, you ain't fooling me into thinking you're actually lifting anything more than a cigarette and a martini. And that oh, God, who told Navigator to make a pickup truck? Who are you kidding? Yeah, that's right. I used to, very briefly in my life, I worked in construction. The only reason why I bring that up is I worked in concrete construction. If you've ever worked in concrete construction, it is messy. You got concrete down the side of the truck. You got it all over the mixer. You got it all over your freaking hands, all over your hair. You got it all over the bed of the truck. You got bags of cement. You have the, you know, you're trying to take care of the equipment, but you imagine a guy sailing down the road with a concrete mixer on the back of a Blackwood, a Navigator Blackwood. I don't see anybody other than women driving those. And if I see a guy drive it, you know what I'm going to say? Hi, sailor.
Ah!
That's right. It's looking a little gay to me. I hate to tell you this, but it looks a little gay for a guy to be driving a Navigator. But that's just my opinion. 1-800-449-8686. Amanda, hi.
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 How you doing?
Fine.
Good. Are you on a speakerphone? Because you're getting, you have that gymnasium sound to you.
Uh-uh.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a phone. This is Bill?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a problem with what you're saying about Kobe Bryant. I feel that when you first came on, you said that you're not saying that he's guilty.
Right.
But then you came basically saying that you think he did it.
Well, I do. I've said that from the beginning. But, I mean, it doesn't matter what I think. Who cares what I think?
Right, that's true.
The guy's gonna, you know, he's gonna walk. You know it, I know it, the whole world knows it.
I don't know it, I really don't. I mean, just because he's rich and all that stuff, it don't mean anything, you know.
Be a surprise. Just like because OJ was rich and all that other stuff, it didn't mean anything either.
It could be a surprise verdict and all that other stuff, you know?
Hey, and he might actually be guilty, too.
He might actually be guilty. And then another thing I would probably...
What do you think? If he's guilty, should he go to jail or should he be allowed to play basketball on weekends?
He should go to jail. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Should he get work release to play with the Lakers?
No. No, he shouldn't. Not if he's found guilty.
Okay.
But then again, she could be lying. You know, not... I mean, yes, they came out saying that she was a slut and all that other stuff.
Let me ask you a question. Let's get to the heart of the matter. As a woman, you don't believe men are worthy individuals, right?
Some I do.
No, but I mean, we're not going to ever be faithful, are we?
Yeah, there's a lot that are faithful. And
who?
The most majority of men are not faithful.
Exactly. Now, name
me
a man.
But there's a small percentage that are faithful.
Any man that you involve yourself with, you know sooner or later he's going to cheat on you, don't you?
No, not necessarily. It depends on if you're satisfying him 100%.
Well, do you think you can do that for a man for 50 years?
50? Yeah, I think so.
You do?
Yeah. Well, I'm young, so, you know.
Well, you I ain't buying it because women forgive that. You're forgiving his behavior with that woman. Even though he's married to a woman, he has the wedding vows, he's got a child at home. You're like, forgiving that behavior because you believe, well, he's a man, that's what they do. They're dirtbags. Right?
What?
What are you doing? Are you flushing a toilet? Or?
No. And then another thing you said was that men can't last
well,
for a fight.
You
said men...
Why can't you answer my question?
Because. I did.
Let
I
me answer
said,
it for you. There you go. That's your answer. Go ahead.
No, and then you said that men can't... Men, it's not possible for a man to last 5 minutes in the room. And that's it. And that's not true. Because
No. I said that is not what I call a man trying to impress a woman with his lovemaking 5 whole minutes bent over a chair.
Right.
That's why if it's a consensual act, it doesn't sound consensual to me.
But what makes you, think that he was trying to perform a nice act for her? Maybe he just wanted
well,
to
Well, don't you think Kobe Bryant's got a little bit of a reputation? I mean, if this cat, let me ask you something, Amanda. Is that a kid I hear? Because I'm going to deep fry him in a minute. I'm kidding. Mommy, your boyfriend is leaving. Mommy, Kobe's leaving. All right, Amanda, take care of your little one. Good Lord. Poor child is hungry. Open a can of something. Clam chowder. Open up that can of capon. Something for the baby. Look at, you guys, you may not want to admit, I don't know. See, that's a very typical attitude for a lot of women there, too. She says, well, maybe he wasn't, you know, really interested in her. See, there's a lot of women out there, I guess, who've had tons of experience, sexual or otherwise, with guys that don't really care what they think. The guy is just, you know, involved in the act of lovemaking, if you will, for himself. And if that's your thing, that's your thing. But, you know, you may want to kind of open your eyes every now and again to see whether she's enjoying it or not. Because like 5 minutes ago, she might have said no, and you were so involved in your thing that you didn't hear it, right? And the next thing you know, you got a cop at your front door. Stupid. Like you, Kobe. So he didn't rape her. He was just really, it was his thing, right? And maybe he didn't care what she thought. Let me ask you, where does the line exist, and at what point do you step over it, and it becomes an act that isn't consensual by both parties? And why am I even talking like this, when I could be out partying with Howard Dean? You know, well, I got a lot of boyfriends, you know, and these guys, well, if they make love to you, well, yeah, it's great. I mean, really? Well, no, not really, but I mean, you know, as long as they're getting satisfied, I don't care. I read a book, you know, I'm doing my nails, I'm going over a grocery list. So listen, I got to get the screen door put in. You know, meanwhile, he's going at it a whole 2 minutes. And before I know it, I look and he's fallen asleep. He's passed out on the floor. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
Show brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Brass, I understand that you'd filed a lawsuit charging racial discrimination against the Surrey Steakhouse chain. They terminated your employment, you claim, because of your Hispanic background. You claim they fired you for harassing, they claim they fired you for harassing customers?
That's correct, yeah.
And what do you claim?
Okay, it's not harassing. I come from a culture that is poor. I am Hispanic. Here in America, people waste food. People throw away food. And when I bring food to a table and I come back to bust dishes, because we do both jobs at Surrey, a lot of times I see there's food left over, okay? And people went back to the buffet for more and didn't finish it. And what I did is respectfully ask people to finish their food. Because I come over, and in a case, it's one lady. There were like 2 meatballs eating out, like she had some pasta left over and some bread. And I said to her, try not to live up to my expectations, which is that Americans, you know, over order and shove the food in and leave half their order uneaten and children are starving in Mexico and Latin America.
All right. Well, the company claims when you returned to the table, you saw food left on the dishes. You wouldn't remove the dishes.
That is correct, until they finished the food.
And what if they refuse to finish their food?
I would say I'm going to...
I mean, what is this? You're a waiter and a busboy. As you say, you do both jobs. What is it? Why are you demanding that people finish their food?
I want to explain that, okay?
All right.
I would say I'm going to come back to the people. I'd say I'm going to come back, and if it isn't finished, then I would sit down with them and explain what it's like to come from hardship and how spoiled many people are living in America. I'm not saying everybody is, but everyone I see who go into the steakhouse is spoiled, and 9 times out of 10, the people would thank me. And what wind up...
They thank you?
Yes, sir, yeah. No, I mean, 9 times out of 10, they wind up shaking my hand, they finish the food, and a couple of times you could see them be... I mean, they would finish their food. You could see sometimes them getting sick out in the parking lot, but they would finish their food. Because I taught them not to act like pigs and disrespect the third world, which I saw a lot of people doing here.
All right, so you talk these people into finishing the food on their table, and then you would bust their dishes. If they didn't, however, you would sit down at their table and tell them about what?
Well, I mean...
I mean, about your Hispanic heritage?
Well, I would tell them about how the people in Mexico are poor and they don't have anything to eat, and how if you're Mexican, you're hungry. But in America, everybody has a lot to eat, and yet everybody leaves their food. They go for seconds at the buffet line. They'll go and get extra dessert. They'll go and get extra meat servings and everything. And
all right, why are you calling this suit racial discrimination? You got fired. Your company says because you harassed people about finishing their food.
Okay, well, I mean, this is going to be the 6th time I've answered this question today. You know,
well, you haven't been on my show, sir, so I apologize.
I mean, I'm not calling you stupid, Mr. Henry, but this is going to be like the 6th time.
I know, you've been doing a lot of interviews. Why are they calling it, why are you calling it racial discrimination?
I'm suing for racial discrimination because the Surrey Steakhouse chain fired me because I was educating their customers to the reality of my culture and how Mexicans are hungry and don't have enough to eat. And meanwhile, Americans don't even finish soup. They'll go back for 2-3 meatballs, they'll go back for 2-3 desserts, they'll leave chicken pieces, they don't eat all the meatball.
Now, you said most people don't mind, so why were you fired?
That was Mrs. Little.
Okay, this is this Jamie Little, who is a customer, who actually did complain, right?
She's like, you know, I mean, other people accepted what I had to say, and quietly, and while I educate him, this so-called woman complained to management.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. His name is Brass Villanueva. Brass was a former waiter at the Surrey Steakhouse who was fired for harassing the customers, apparently. And the harassment of the customers had more to do with you not bussing food off of their table when they were done with it or demanding that they finish it.
That is correct, yeah.
Or else you were going to sit down at their table and educate them about the realities of being Mexican, which may be well and good, and maybe we do need education. But this lady, this Jamie Little, tell me about her. You said that she's, and I take it you don't like her?
No, sir, I don't. I said I wouldn't let her leave until I told her about my people.
All right, she alleges that you called her a Yankee sow?
Well, that is correct, but only because...
You did call her that?
Well, there is background. She wouldn't listen to me. She left 2 whole portions of Salisbury steak. She had asked for extra sour cream that she never touched. And her 2 sons were brats also, I want to mention that, that spoiled yogurt everywhere. And so when she got up to leave, I said to her something in Spanish, which actually was like having a nice day.
All right, well, the phrase she heard was, usted es un perro gordo.
That is correct. That's and then she comes back.
Well, what does that mean?
That means have a nice day.
So she comes back yelling at you.
She came back yelling at me, and that's when I said that I used the Spanish. I said, ser de Yankee, which is a Yankee sow, and that's only after she refused to finish her plate. When you come in... See, I have a rule, and maybe I should have explained my rule. I don't want to take an order from a table if you are going to order food, and then you're not going to finish it, and leave it laying there while you pick your teeth and act like, you know, everything's okay.
Why are you taking that personally? If I paid for the food,
Yeah, you paid for the food, so you have to eat the food.
No, but in America, as long as you're characterizing this in nationalistic terms...
It's more of a cultural thing, Henry. It's not national. I was born in America. Okay?
All right, a cultural thing or whatever. I can order up the food, and I can leave it sitting there on the table if I want to.
Okay, but most people, when I tell them... Okay, like, I'll give you an example.
All right, let me give you the example.
All right.
All right. I go to the Surrey Steakhouse, and I order... Let's say steak, baked potato, some asparagus, and, you know, for dessert, maybe some ice cream and cake, and a cup of coffee. And you come back to the table, and I've got most of the asparagus sitting there and the baked potato.
Okay, well, in that case, you know, I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to have to make an assessment. And I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to go, okay, are you going to finish that? I mean, that's the first thing I'll ask you is I'll point at and say, are you intended on finishing that? To which I guess you would say no, right?
That's right.
I'd say, okay, I'm going to come back in 5 minutes. I'd like to see, you know, I want you to finish that because the Mexicans don't have any food, you know?
And because the Mexicans don't have any food. You tell me I want you to finish that because my people don't have any food?
That's correct, right. And if I got back...
All right, so you get back and I still haven't finished it.
That's when I'll sit down, and generally I'll sit in a part of the booth that blocks you from exiting.
All right, see, right there, that's illegal. Now,
no, that's not really illegal because once...
Yes, it is. If you're black, you can say anything you want. I guess you can come back to the table and try to tell me about your culture, but if you're going to sit there in the booth and block me from getting out of the booth...
No, because...
Well, yes, it is.
Well, could I just explain?
Go ahead.
If I say about Mexico to you, you'll be interested and you'll want to hear it. Nobody has ever wanted to get out of the booth when I tell them that... And I say it with great respect, but they're acting like pigs, and they are disgusting to see leaving all that food when Mexicans are hungry. And
But let's just say, like in the case of this Jamie Miller, she wanted out.
She was just a pig. I mean, I'm not one who gives you the check. Okay, so you're gonna hear me out.
Oh, so she was a pig because she didn't want to hear you out.
First of all. I mean,
Do you see what I'm saying here, Brass? Do you get at the point? The woman, even if she didn't want to hear you, is still going to have the right to get out of that booth, isn't she?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because she's ordered all that food, and she's going to leave it there, and she's going to waddle, you know, what a pig, man. And I told her she was a...
You called her a Yankee sow.
That's right.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Brad's Villanueva's with us. He is a former food server at the Surrey Steakhouse chain. I don't want to mention the particular restaurant where he was fired for harassing customers. He demanded that they finish all the food that they ordered. If they didn't, he would tell them about how hungry people are in the third world, and he wouldn't let them out of the booth. And you claim people liked it.
Most people would shake my hand and thank me. Yeah. Because they're just pigs, you know, I mean, they come in like pigs, but they go out educated.
Here is Jackie on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jackie.
Brad?
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, you have no right suing for discrimination when you're throwing around racial slurs like that.
What did I say?
You're calling people Yankee South.
That's not race. That's nationality.
Okay, regardless, that's discrimination.
See that? No,
secondly,
no, it's not. No, it's not.
Secondly,
you need
you
to look up the law. I know the law.
Okay, secondly, you have no right setting rules for restaurants unless it's your own restaurant and people know what they're going into.
Well, what right do you have to leave
living
food
in America is being able to work for your buck and order whatever you want to. If you want to put it in the middle of a park and feed it to the ducks, go for it.
Yeah, but I know more about the law than you do, and you...
That has nothing to
do
with
the
point
you're
trying to make.
What?
You're trying to make a point that people need to not order as more than they can eat.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the law. The law doesn't say don't order more food than you can eat. That's what America is all about.
Well,
welcome to America. Work for your money. Spend it any way you want.
No, not wasting food because there are a lot of people who are very hungry. I took two pieces of Salisbury steak she left on her plate and also the sour cream on the side, which she asked for extra sour cream. Why would she do that? Why would she do that?
Maybe it sounded good and she didn't like the taste. Bottom line is you did a good deed and that... It's not up to you to decide what people should and shouldn't eat and how much they should and shouldn't eat.
Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
That is so typical of a lot of women. I mean, they say that, you know, it sounded good, but I don't like the taste. And they say that about a lot of things. And
that's
right, now look
at we have.
Hold on for a minute, kid. I don't want you getting.
No, I don't. I don't mean to be inappropriate, but you hear that so often, you know.
Yeah, you know something. I know what you're getting at, and you're talking to a lady, okay?
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
That's the luxury we have of living in America. We can order whatever we want and not have to finish it. I mean,
do you know how many people
that's why we have trash.
Right, but do you know how many Mexican people would have liked that sour cream?
And I'm sure Ethiopian kids would like it too, but they're not here. That's not the fact that we're trying to make. The point is you can't work somewhere under somebody else and harass customers about them not eating enough. They ate their fill. If there's some leftover.
Can I ask you something?
Ask away.
Have you ever said that before? You know, it sounded good, but I didn't like the taste?
Absolutely. I think I did it today, as a matter of fact.
Was your husband there, or...
Okay, see, this is what I mean. You're being a smart-ass kid.
No, but I break the ice with people with humor.
Yeah, but that's not funny.
That's not funny at all. I mean, okay, so that's not what you believe in. Well, you're not the one ordering it. If I go to Burger King and I order three hamburgers and throw them into the park for ducks to eat, that's my prerogative. It's my money. I'm spending it the way I want
but
to.
But are you the kind of woman?
I work hard to earn it.
Are you the kind of woman that'll tease a man by saying it sounds good, but then you don't like the taste?
Will you stop?
Exactly. Will you stop? That's not. So what? I mean, you're making an invalid point.
Look, lady, you would rather feed a bird than a Mexican.
Well, all right, look at Jackie, very good points. I do have to take a break, and I appreciate your call. 1-800-449-8686. What are you trying to do?
I just said that I...
You know, don't get down that road with me.
Mr. Henry, I...
You're asking her husband, you know, hey, it sounded good, but I don't like the taste.
What?
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Either get this kid to be serious or I'm going to just blow off the interview. We're talking with Brass Villanueva, who claims to have been fired from the Surrey Steakhouse chain because of racial discrimination. He saw a lot of Americans wasting food. He demanded that they finish their food by the time he got back to the table, or he was going to sit there and tell them about how hungry Mexicans are. The lady says one line, it sounded good, but I decided I didn't like the taste, and the kid takes off on that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, when the truth just isn't enough. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm with Brass Villanueva. He's a young man. Are you working now, Brass?
No, sir. Right now, just helping out my father. He has an auto detailing business and also in school right now. But the thing I wanted to say was that right now, my attorney is a man by the name of Stephen Scheinbaum. I took my case to Gloria Allred, who is a prominent Los Angeles attorney, but she wouldn't take the case. So I took it to Stephen Scheinbaum. He said that maybe there are seven figures in it because on a thing like Surrey Steakhouse, they don't want bad publicity about being a racist. And my attorney says there's probably seven figures in it right now. But
well, when you start talking about that, kid, it sounds like you're in it for the money.
Well, also, I really don't want you to call me kid no more, okay, because I'm a man and...
Well, if you're a man, then you can stop with the juvenile lines like, it sounded good, but I didn't like the taste.
Well, she walked right into it. She walked right into it.
Okay, that's fine, man. We're talking about a legal question here, not some cuties you want to get off. 1-800-449-8686. Is it all right for an employee of a steakhouse to tell people, finish your food, or, I'm not going to bust the plates off the table? Let's go over here to Melanie. Hi, Melanie. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. I just wanted to say off the bat that I really think that he's being an hypocrite because he's there just saying, trying to educate people how to act properly when he called this lady, tú eres un perro gordo. And if I recall my Spanish properly, that means you're a fat dog. That doesn't mean good
fighting. That's not my understanding. My understanding is it means have a nice day.
Wait a minute. What did you call her?
I said,
a fat dog.
I said, usted es en Twitter. Are you from Mexico?
I'm I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I've been speaking Spanish.
I bet you ordered margaritas down there real good too, but.
No, I don't do margaritas. My son's father is Mexican. I'm sorry, and, you know, he can translate pretty well.
Okay, so you were married to a Mexican? Then you know how hungry they can be. Okay?
It has nothing to do with that. We're not in Mexico. He didn't throw food in the garbage in Mexico. But I think you're a really big hypocrite. If you want to call somebody a fat dog, you just do it right to their face.
Why did you tell me that men have a nice day when it means I think you're a fat dog?
I was not aware of that. Spanish is not my first language. I was born in America, and all I'm saying is, I mean, how many times, well, the lady's laughing, but I bet you she's gone down to Cabo, you know, and lifted her head over, lifted her dress over her head at Sammy Hagar's bar and everything like that, right? And what I'm trying to say is...
I don't think you should be...
How can you say that?
You know, what is it with you?
How can you even say that?
Well, I mean, you go down there, have a few margaritas and everything, and then leave food on the table. And I told the lady to eat it, you know, and most ladies will when you tell them to. But this lady told me no, and it made me angry. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize, but I respect it. My culture, Mexicans are hungry, and when we see fat, you know, gringo-style
people... Like he says he's been born in America, too?
Who, me?
So I guess you haven't lived it for real.
Well, all I'm telling you is that I told most people finish your dinner, and they'll do it. And this woman... I said you can get sick out in the parking lot if you want to. I've seen people finish their meal because they feel guilty about Mexicans being hungry. Then they go out to the parking lot. They get sick right out in the gutter.
You know what? What is going to be the difference? If she leaves the food or not on her table, the Mexican in Mexico is still going to be hungry.
Ma'am, are you the type of woman who has 3 or 4 banana strawberry margaritas and you leave a whole plate of shrimp scampi, right? So a Mexican...
You have no idea about what you're talking.
The Mexicans will look through the chain link fence and see you with your shrimp scampi and go, oh, God, I would love to have it.
Yeah,
and meanwhile, you're dressed.
Whether you're finishing my plate or not here in Canada, how is that going to make them less hungry?
Canada?
How is it going to fix it?
Canada? What are you talking about? I thought you said you was American. Canada? Oh, my God.
I never said I was American.
How can you say you speak Spanish when you... You don't even know what usted es un perro.
I just looked it up.
I was married to a Spanish guy. I didn't say I was Spanish.
What, did he talk Mexican?
He was born there, for God's sake.
How come you married him?
Right now.
Why did you marry him?
The thing is,
ain't there no Canadians?
Explain to me how somebody either in America, I have a lot of family in America, I'm in Canada personally, but if I finish my food or not, how is the guy in Mexico less hungry?
Melanie, Mexicans are salivating over your shrimp scampi while you're squatting over a Corona bottle, and I just...
All right, that's... Thank you, Melanie. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, special guest Doug Danger on our show tonight with the 100 most influential country artists of all time. Doug, the gay man and gay journalist, has a column coming out in the Orange County Courier very soon. We're speaking with young Brass Villanueva, who has filed a lawsuit charging racial discrimination against a former employer. Because he was trying to get people to finish all their food, and if they didn't, he would remind them that there are starving Mexicans. By the way, I heard, Mr. Villanueva, that you got a hold of some pictures of children suffering from malnutrition and placed them on the tables of these people?
No, Mr. Henry, if you want to quote the story, I appreciate if you quote it right.
All right, well then tell me what the story is.
The story is that I had pictures from UNICEF in New York showing children in various stages of malnutrition, okay, and I'd say, okay, are you finishing that pie? And they'd say, no, I'm not finished. I'd say, I'd like you to finish it. Well, it's none of your business. Okay, take a look at that. And I'd put the picture right on the pie. And it would say,
well, I hear some of these pictures were very disturbing.
Well, that's too bad, you know. I mean, what do you want me to do about it? These are starving, you know, people. And
look, kid, I
you know, I don't like you calling me kid either.
All right, so I'm sorry. So I'll say Mr. Villanueva. You got good intentions, okay? But the fact is, you can't make people do that. You can't make them eat. I mean, what motivates you to care so much about the world's hungry? I know that you're a Latin origin.
Well, I can tell you, I had a girlfriend years ago who I very much cared for. She was an American girl. You know, she was a European girl. And I'm a Mexican. And I wanted to so very much go out with her, you know. And then I came over to her house one day to meet her family, and they disgusted me. And so, with the way they ate.
And they disgusted you with the way they ate?
Yeah, they ate with their mouth, they talked with their mouths full, which I can't stand that ever. And, you know, like, her kid sister had a banana in her mouth, and she'd go, ha, ha, with all the mushed up banana in there. And from that point on, I said, these fat animal, oh, man. I hate, you know, I was never going to let them do that to me again.
So a girl of American descent, or European descent, her family, you didn't like their table manners, and so now you make people finish their food at the restaurant, or you put a picture of a malnourished kid on top of their dessert.
That's correct, yes.
1-800-449-8686. Ebony, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi,
yes,
I want to talk to the gentleman, sir. I wanted to tell you it was not in your job description to inform those people of malnourished children. What was in your job description was to serve food, and that's all you were paid and hired to do.
Well, why are they leaving the food, though? You know, I mean,
that's none of your concern. That's not what you were hired to do.
No,
you were hired to serve people.
Well, I do.
Not to inform them of starving Mexicans and starving children.
Well, I do.
And if you're going to live in America, you better get accustomed to America's norms.
Well, I come over the table, and they've got, like, four whole pieces of chicken left, like half a meatloaf.
Oh, sir, didn't they pay for that chicken? Didn't they pay for whatever they left?
Yeah, well, they're supposed to. Then why are they leaving it?
Okay, the intelligent thing to do would have been to ask them, do you want a doggy bag? There's different ways to go about your problem that you're trying to solve.
But
you're not
going
to solve it by talking to people, showing them starving kids pictures and all of that at their table while they're eating dinner.
But
what you're
going to
do is get yourself fired like you did.
Look,
the intelligent way to go about that is start a foundation. Use that energy that you have
that's a lot of people. I'm more direct. My action is more direct.
And your actions are ignorant, which is what got you fired.
No. Look, do you eat all your Salisbury steak?
Me is not the question.
Oh,
the question is why you lost your job.
See, that
your
means
lawsuit
you
has no merit.
Okay. You
the lawsuit has no merit, and you're not going to win. You had no business. It was not your place.
America hates Mexicans, and so they want to leave food laying around on the table. So some of the Mexicans.
No, I think you have an issue with Americans, and I don't really think it has anything to do with food.
Well, no, I don't have any problem.
Because you're not defending your actions.
The
intelligent thing to do would have been to
what about the doggy bag?
Start a foundation for starving
children. Let me ask something here, Brass. What about the doggy bag?
Because then they take it home and they give it to a dog. Jesus, how stupid is that?
Well,
I mean, are you people kidding with that? What about a doggy bag? Is it going to take it home and give it to a dog?
You people.
Yeah.
Who's to say you're going to give it to a dog? They might not even have a dog. They might eat it later.
Can I ask you a question? Are you American?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What do you leave on the table at a restaurant? Yes or no?
What do you mean, what do you leave on a table, yes or no?
What do I leave on the table?
Yeah, yes or no?
I don't leave anything. I take my leftover food home for
later.
And then
do you give it to a dog or do you?
No, I don't give it to a dog. I eat it because I paid for it.
The American is like a big fat St. Bernard and the Mexican's a little skinny chihuahua, you know? And we just want some of that stuff. God!
Well, what you do is start a foundation over there.
Steve Sheinbaum.
Oh,
man. A foundation's boring.
Are you serious?
All right. She said a foundation is boring.
It is. You can't get anything done without foundation. Then you have a whole bunch of crooked people administering the funds. Next thing you know, everybody's ripping everybody off.
Well, that's why we have you with your notorious works and your notorious beliefs and your good deeds, and you want to help these starving people. That's why you're over the foundation and you're over the money.
Well, I'm not about the money, but I walk by your table and I see a half-eaten pie.
And you're going to get fired.
I'm going to get mad.
That's exactly why you got fired.
All right, Ebony, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Moving on now to Carlos. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hey, guy. You have no right to be telling people what to eat and when to eat if they pay for it.
Why?
You know what? And second of all, why are you insulting people, calling people fat dogs?
No.
Yeah, because I speak Spanish. I speak Spanish, and you cannot fool me. You can
I didn't
fool
say
Mr.
That.
Mr. Phil Hendricks, but you cannot fool me because I speak Spanish.
I didn't say nothing about a fat dog.
You know, and second of all, there is no such language as Mexican. It's Spanish. You said that you talk Mexican. Nobody talks Mexican. People speak Spanish.
Well, you know? Where are you from?
Where am I from? I'm from Honduras.
Oh, man, you ain't even Mexican.
What's the difference?
What?
I mean, Spanish.
Oh my God!
Spanish.
Oh my God! You trying to tell me?
You know, you don't even know how to speak Spanish.
Do you finish your baked potato?
I do, and I don't care whether I do or not. I pay for it. I do whatever I want with it.
Well, but here's the thing. How
no, no. I mean, what are you doing about it? I mean, are you sending money to starving little Mexicans? No, you're not. You're probably smoking it in dope.
Oh man, that is harsh.
Yeah,
that's
well,
harsh,
it is the truth. It is the truth.
Dude,
it is the truth. And you know what? And you know what else, though, too? You're lucky you didn't say that to a man. Because if you would have said that to me to eat my food, I'd make you eat it. You know? Because you were just taking advantage of the woman.
No.
You know?
All I'm saying
you're,
is...
You're the biggest bigot that I know.
Hey.
You're the biggest. You know, you have no right to be...
You don't have a right to leave a baked potato laying there. And not
if,
even
if I
it?
Pay for it, if I pay for it, I got every right to do what I want with it.
Okay, can I ask you a question? So for kicks, you buy a baked potato and you just leave it there and look at it.
Hey, you know
what?
If I pay for it, I can. That's why this country is America. You know, you can do whatever you want.
What is wrong?
I mean, as long as you're not breaking the law.
Well, let me ask this question here of you, Brass. You said that even if you got to go out in the parking lot and get sick.
Yeah, I have seen people feel so terrible about starving Mexicans and stuff. They'll go out the parking lot, throw everything up, and come back in and get a baked potato and a side of clams.
Good God.
What?
What do you mean they go out, throw everything up, and come in for a baked potato and a side of clams? What a freak.
You know something? I don't like to be laughed at, okay? That's number one. And number two, this guy in Carlos, hey...
Well,
I bet you order up baked potatoes and just laugh at them. Just look at them and laugh at them.
No, you know what? I eat them. I eat them. You know what? I eat whatever, you know? I don't discriminate food at all. But if I'm not hungry, if I go to a restaurant and I pay for food that I don't want to eat, I don't eat it. And there's no way that you can come and tell me that I have to eat my food that I pay for it.
Well, how are you going to get out of the restaurant?
How am I going to get out of the restaurant?
Yes, sir.
What about you? I mean, if I pay for it, I just get out of the restaurant.
Whoa, watch the, okay, the dude dropped the F-bomb.
Hey, I wear pants and shirts too big just to show how poor and skinny I am. But I'm ripped. Okay, just because I wear pants big and shirt big to make it look like, you know, I'm skinny and starving and have malnutrition and everything, that doesn't mean, man, I can't bring it. Okay? So come at me, you know?
Look, dude, this is not about fighting. This is about you caring about starving people and making people eat food that they don't want to eat. What do you mean he orders a baked potato just to laugh at it?
A lot of people will order food and let it sit in front of them and go, ha, ha, ha. Look, I got enough money to eat. Meanwhile, there's a skinny child down in Mexico who would love to have the baked potato and to eat anything, man. Snails, escargot, little kids, they would love to have crab cakes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Amy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I was calling to talk to the gentleman that thinks that he has a point.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that if you want to be an educator, that is one thing. But I feel like you are harassing your customers. I'm a waitress, and I believe that you go in and you do your job and you ask them what they want to drink and what they want to eat. And then you get the hell out of there with your cash, and that's how you pay your bills. If you're in America, you know that. But you have no right to preach to anybody especially your customers. I don't see how you have made a living
so far treating your customers like that. You're the perfect person to talk to. You're a weight person, right?
Yes.
We have the power to tell people, finish the clam dip or whatever.
But you know what? That is not what we do. We go in, we serve their food, we are nice, we put on a big fat smile, whether we like the customers or not, and we give them what they ask for, what they're paying for, and that's how we take our money home. If you have a different point, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to have a cause, that is great, but you need to do it in a different way.
Can I make a point?
Boxing your customers in, that is harassment. You push your customers, you say you don't let them leave, ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
I think it's within our... I saw a woman order ice cream one time just to look at it melt.
But you're talking about
just
dessert.
You're saying,
do you want to help? No. You say you want to help?
I do want to help.
People, if
what
you want
to
help, then you are in the wrong profession.
I go to work.
It's a brainless job. Being a waiter is a brainless job. You go there,
you get your tip, you go home.
No, if you wrap
the Salisbury steak up in tinfoil or just in a napkin and shove it into the lady's purse when she's not looking, it'll get greasy. It'll be all over everything, and she'll go, God, why is that a point for you, though?
I don't understand why you're making that your issue.
Because she did.
All right, we had to dump that. That's two Fs.
I thought I heard her say the F word, you know, but I wasn't sure. Maybe I could be a talk show host someday, too.
Yeah, that's... Look, let me ask you something here, Brass, before we let you go and move on. It is interesting, your passion. And I was thinking maybe it was based on an altruism for people. But instead, it is the past affection you had for a young lady, correct?
What? I mean, I don't understand what you said.
In other words, this was about a girl that you used to love.
Yeah, and then I saw her eat, like, banana cake, and it just, Jesus. I followed a little pig child into a bathroom and made him put a wasted baked potato in the rear of his pants to teach him. So,
Okay, Michael Jackson. And what's a pig child?
One of these American children who order up the yogurt and go, hey, 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 and play with it. I want to hurt them.
All right, I've had enough of that. In any event, I thought the guy really loved people and was really, out to make a difference in the world. He's just got a problem with people who eat with their mouth. I don't know what his story is. Get on the phone with him, Janice, and see if we can refer him out to a suicide hotline. 1-800-449-8686. So that's Brass Villanueva. Coming up is Doug Danger and the 100 most influential country artists of all time. His list, as it appears in this week's Orange County Courier Sunday edition. It's coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jim Sadler on our show yesterday to talk about how Howard Dean has lots of energy. It's why a guy like Jim Sadler likes him, because Jim's got energy. In fact, he's got a wife 25 years younger than him.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the only intelligent thing this gentleman had to say was that the women's vote is pivotal. And women vote on issues, not what passion or what he means to say is what somebody does in the bedroom. I personally could care less. I vote on the issues. I'm independent. And I really don't care what somebody's doing in the bedroom, what they're watching, or what their passion is. I want to know what the issues are, and that's how I vote.
Well, I agree with that, if I may say that, Lori. However, this morning we were presented with a problem. We had the mainstream press characterizing Governor Dean as mentally deranged. And I had to say, well, I find that to be wrong. I think he's a passionate man. And look at my life. My life's fantastic.
But you got to understand, we don't care about you and your wife. And when you keep talking like this, I didn't think it was a big deal about Howard Dean being passionate. You are changing my mind. If people like you are the ones that are voting for him, I don't want any part of it.
And I would ask you again, Dr. Sadler, that I'm hearing that pornography, whatever that...
I'm sorry, turn it down.
Yeah, have a little respect.
Ma'am, you sound like... Are you single?
No, I'm not.
Are you interested in a club for Democrats that also entails... We're all Democratic Party members, and by the way, 90% of us are Howard Dean supporters, and we do. I guess she's going to be upset with us.
Well, I don't know what it is you're talking about.
No, I'm not going to be upset.
We swing.
Oh,
are you interested in that at all?
I don't need that in my life. I'm secure enough in my marriage that I don't need that type of thing.
Turn the music down, please.
You have to turn it down, baby.
I also have a beautiful daughter that I want to raise to be an upstanding citizen without...
Use the towel. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. This man is
Yeah,
disgusting.
I'm sorry, Lori.
I have never
ma'am,
called a radio
can,
show
no,
before.
No, ma'am, you can bring...
He has had fun. He is the reason that I wouldn't even think
you can
about
bring your daughter if you
Howard Dean.
Bill Henry Show. Comedy gold.
You know what I liked about that? That lady started out saying she was a Howard Dean supporter, and now she says she didn't even think about voting for Howard Dean. Why? Because... He's nuts! Nah, he's okay. What's wrong with a guy getting a little excited and realizing that things are done? Things are over. I'd do the same thing if I knew that I no longer had to worry about being elected president and I had all of those people not hanging on my every word and hanging on my neck, and that I could actually go home to Vermont, tap into a maple sirple tree and, you know, just kick back and play with myself or whatever. I'd say... two. What? Jesus. Good for you, Howard. Time to just head on back to Vermont and, you know, stick a stethoscope up a baby's butt or whatever it was you were doing there. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
We're going to talk with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier about a list that he has assembled, the 100 most influential and most important, in other words, the 100 greatest country music artists of all time. And I know it's going to be in your column on Sunday, Doug, but we're excited, to... Maybe get a sneak preview, and we thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Phil, as usual.
Now, you said that this is the first time a list like this has been gotten right. You say you got it right. Why do you say you got it right?
Well, I think that one of the unique things about the kind of journalism... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been out of the closet since just after Christmas, and one of the things I've learned since I've been out, the road that I've had to travel as a gay man, as a gay journalist, is that because of what I've suffered as a gay man and a gay journalist, I've been able to see things more clearly, I think. And one of the things that's always bothered me is how they consistently get these lists of who the great country artists are wrong. And I decided that the first thing I was going to try to do to set things right is get a list of the greatest country artists, and this is the first time, Phil, that someone has made a list of the 100 greatest country artists and gotten it right. And I wanted to do it before too much time elapsed. One of the things we've got too much of are award shows, we've got ceremonies, they always are giving out awards to the wrong people. As an entertainment writer, it makes me sick to the point of utter nausea and almost delirium. And so I decided I'm sick and tired. I'm a gay man and a gay... As a gay man, I think my honesty is what really counts.
All right. We're not going to talk about the whole list, obviously.
No, no.
But we're going to talk about names on the list. The top 10, right?
That's exactly right. I have the top 10 country artists of all time. But I'd like, people, obviously, to look at the entire list because this will tell them if their record buying has been correct, if they are, you know, listening to the right people, if they think someone is great and they're not, it's not only does it make you look stupid, but it's embarrassing, I think, to be at a party or be anywhere and say, oh, isn't so-and-so great? And people look at you like you're, you know, kind of looking at you cross-eyed and like, you know, when they want to move away from you.
All right, what was the criteria, what were, I should say, the criteria to make this list and to make these rankings?
Well, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I felt that record sales, artistic merit, and songs were the three main ingredients, songwriting. And when we mention some of these names, people will know immediately what I'm talking about. The names are familiar. They are loved. The list is the most accurate one ever made, just assessing talent. I'm gay, and so given that, what I've lived through, I can cut through a lot of the smoke and mirrors.
All right, let's go to the number 10 greatest artist of all time, country artist, right?
These are country artists, right.
Okay, the number 10 greatest country artist of all time, Sheryl Crow. Why?
Sheryl Crow...
Because that's a little surprising to me. I would associate her more with rock and roll.
Well, hold on for a minute, because this is kind of an area of expertise. But it's surprising only to people, I think, that don't really know country music, but not to me. She sings of the road. One of the things country artists sing about is, you know, alcoholism and this kind of thing. They sing about getting beaten by their boyfriends or their girlfriends. She does all of that, rodeos, living out, you know, on a ranch or something. She does all of that, and she does it brilliantly, and I think she's a great artist.
Number 9, Merle Haggard. So Sheryl Crow's the 10th greatest country artist in history.
Absolutely.
Number 9, Merle Haggard.
Well, Merle Haggard, I think, is the real deal. He's been to prison. A lot of these guys have been to prison, but he's been to prison probably before most of them were. He also, I think, popped pills for a while, so he's really been... on that, he did the whole country life thing. Also, he crosses over very well. I think Merle Haggard is brilliant. I love his work, and he has had to take a backseat too long to people who are a little overrated. I mean, you know, Johnny Cash, God rest his soul, but I've never seen anybody more overrated than him.
Johnny Cash?
Oh, my God, yeah. That's the other thing about this list. People are finally going to understand that all those Johnny Cash records they bought, they were making fools out of themselves. And now you can rest assured when you read my list, you'll know what albums to buy.
All right, hold on. I want to give our number out here, Doug.
Sure.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, looking at this list, I don't think I'm talking out of turn when I say, well, let's just go on to number 8. The Dixie Chicks.
Number 8, yeah.
Why the Dixie Chicks? The top 10 country artists of all time.
I know the Dixie Chicks are controversial, but you can't ignore what they've done in the country music scene. For the longest time, I think people were tricked and fooled into thinking Patsy Cline or Loretta Lynn had some kind of momentum or momentous impact on country music. Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn are hacks compared to the Dixie Chicks. Tammy Wynette is a, you know, she's just like English sophomore 101, you know. Compared to the Dixie Chicks, I think they're the real deal.
All right, number 7 of the greatest country artists of all time, Garth Brooks.
Absolutely. Controversial, fearless, topical. It's hard to argue with the number of records he's sold, too. And Garth Brooks, again, with these guys like Hank Williams, who, yes, was good. But I get so sick and tired of hearing people talk about Hank Williams. Like, Garth Brooks, I mean, all the songs he writes about, again, liquor and this kind of deal, he's great.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. Garth Brooks, the 7th greatest country artist of all time. The Dixie Chicks, number 8. Merle Haggard, number 9. And Sheryl Crow, number 10. We move on now to the number 6 most influential country artist of all time, Tammy Wynette. Now, that one I think belongs on the list somewhere. I don't know if at number 6.
Well, again, Phil, you have to understand why I did this list. So that when people... And I say this with the greatest of respect, such as yourself, who start talking about country music, you won't sound stupid anymore.
I don't think I sound stupid.
No, not stupid, but, you know, you say, I think she belongs on the list. Well, yes, she belongs on the list at number 6. That's exactly where she belongs. Okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. The things I've seen, the places I've been.
All right, so Tammy Wynette. Talk to me about her. She is very authentic, I suppose. What do they used to call it? Country-politan?
Tammy's got a little bit of country-politan in her. more than anything, what I love about Tammy Wynette is she is the real deal. She was married to a abusive alcoholic by the name of George Jones, another guy who's very overrated. She has, you know, had surgery and took pills and this and same thing with, like, Patsy Cline got into a plane crash or something. So all of these people have been abused physically. And Tammy Wynette, I think, if you've ever heard that song she did, My D-I-V-O-R-C-E Becomes Final Today, it's about a woman singing about the fact that she's getting a divorce, and she's saying it so her little boy won't understand, so she spells it out. It's a beautiful song.
All right, number five, Willie Nelson.
Number five is Willie Nelson, a great songwriter. The composer Stardust, Willie crosses over, and I love him, and I think he is the fifth greatest country artist of all time, without question.
Country, you know, he did a lot of crossover hanging with rock and roll acts, you know.
Well, I don't think that's wrong, but he, if you look at him, he smokes a lot of weed. I didn't think I'd put him on the list because he smoked a lot of weed, which is not something that you see country artists do, but I just love his music, and he's the fifth greatest country artist of all time.
All right. When we come back, we're going to go four through one. I'm going to take some phone calls, perhaps, from people who might want to talk with you, Doug. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger is with us talking about the 100 greatest country artists of all time that you have printed up in your column. And probably the most fascinating aspect of this, Doug, is you say this is the first time it's been gotten right.
That is absolutely right. I got it right. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I felt I needed to weigh in on this because, again, I'm getting tired of hearing Johnny Cash. This Johnny Cash was fine. He was okay. Good. I can listen to him for about 10 minutes, and then I start getting my eyes start to cross. I start getting a headache, you know, because he couldn't sing. He didn't, I mean, name a song that he, I mean, I know he did songs.
Well, Ring of Fire and Walk the Line, and his collaborative work with Bob Dylan was interesting.
Well, yeah, but I don't get it about him. And everybody thinks he's not. And I finally had to come out and say Johnny Cash is not that great.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Johnny Cash ain't that great. According to Doug Danger, Johnny Cash, I can tell you this right now, isn't even on the top 10 list of the greatest country artists of all time. I would put him there. I would put Hank Williams there. I would put Jimmy Rogers there. I would put, I don't know, I would probably put George Jones there. None of those men are on this list. Doug says this is the first time someone's put a list of the top 100 country artists and gotten it right. Number 10, Sheryl Crow. Number 9, Merle Haggard. Number 8, the Dixie Chicks. Number 7, Garth Brooks. Number 6, Tammy Wynette. And number 5, Willie Nelson. And we'll get to the top four when we come back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're back with Doug Danger and the 100 top country artists of all time.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
Now, Doug, this is
Sheryl Crow.
Okay, my background is in rock and roll, so not being familiar with a lot of this music. Sheryl Crow, you got at number 10, one of the most influential country artists of all time.
Absolutely. Just listen to her singing, listen to her heartfelt, la-da-dee-dee. She's singing about, what is the name of this?
I don't know. What is the name of this? Stand By Your Man.
Stand By Your Man. It's a song about a woman who's married to probably an alcoholic or something. And the way she just sings, she still loves him even though maybe he's going to jail. I don't know what. Okay, you can turn that one off, and then we'll do another one. I've got I know that Mark's probably got the stuff there.
Yeah, Mark has it all lined up.
Okay.
I want to take a phone call. We're talking with Doug Danger of the top 100 country artists of all time. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And you said something, and I want to get to it. You said Johnny Cash is overrated.
Oh, that's why I did this list, Phil, because I saw so many people sounding stupid in bars and restaurants go, oh, Johnny Cash is great, then I'd have to correct them. I'm gay. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, one of the things I feel is sort of my my calling cards is telling people, you know, you don't want to sound stupid. And while Johnny Cash was good, he doesn't belong on a list of the top 100. I mean, that
you're saying that there's 100 other country artists that were better than him.
Well, let me ask you something, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I've laid my cards on the table. Why are you harping on Johnny Cash? I told you, this is the first time...
Well, I don't know.
No, but this is the first time this list has ever been done, and people got it right. Okay, this is Sheryl Crow, and we'll move on to...
Hey, all right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Dan. Dan, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Dan,
hi.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I can't believe, you know, I was with this guy the whole way until he said that Willie Nelson, he almost dropped Willie Nelson from his list because he smoked pot. How crazy is that? It's not like Willie
Nelson.
That's not
really country. That's not really country.
Well, whether it's really country or not, it's really real. And Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, everybody, they all got together and smoked pot. That has nothing to do with whether he was a good country artist or not.
Well, mostly,
you know, for you to base that on that, it means that you just don't know what you're talking about. And the thing that you don't want people to realize is that you're as stupid as you really are.
No, sir, I'm a gay man.
I can't believe you even said that.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
being a gay man and a gay journalist doesn't mean anything. You know, you can be all the gay you want, but you aren't smart enough to know what the hell you're talking about because you're just stupid.
No, I'm not stupid. The problem is you can't accept that you can't smoke pot and be a country artist. Because they drink.
Yeah?
You understand?
Yeah? And they drink while they're smoking a joint. Big deal. You know, that's where they get a lot of their inspiration from. How you can even say that you dropped him, why would you keep anybody then? Everybody in the country artist music hall of fame.
Wait a minute, who
everybody has smoked pot one time or another.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Loretta Lynn, for calling in. Jesus.
Well, wait a minute. Take the man seriously.
Well, I don't know. How does he know?
How do you know?
Because, how do I know? I'm a gay man, a gay journalist. I have written about country music for the last 4 years. I know. Listen to the way Sheryl Crow can sing.
Sheryl Crow has nothing to do with this. We're talking about Willie Nelson. We're talking about a guy that has created country, created a whole avenue of country music.
That's why
nobody else has ever created. He's written more songs for other people and made more hits than any other day.
Well, yeah.
And you're saying that he's not.
Well, I don't know. I can't understand you.
Okay, look. I think you made your point. Thank you very much, Dan. 1-800-449-8686. He obviously disagrees with you.
Well, when you come out with a list like this, Phil, that is definitive and that finally spells out the truth, people get angry at their own stupidity. How could I have been so stupid for so long? And that guy called, he's all pissed off because Willie Nelson, if I was to be honest, doesn't belong on a list of all-time great country artists because he's a dope smoker.
Well, then why Merle Haggard?
Because Merle Haggard,
I mean, you're making it about the drugs they take.
No. It's more lifestyle is all I mean.
All right, here is Chonesy. Chonesy?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Okay. Hey, Doug.
Hi.
Where do you get your authority for rating country singers?
Well, I've been an entertainment writer, and I've been specifically assigned to country music for the last 2.5 years. I went to Nashville last year, and...
You don't know anything, though.
Well,
tell me why Annette
that's like me calling your,
your man. Tell me why Annette was singing Stand By Your Man a minute ago, and you said it was Sheryl Crow.
That, to my understanding, is Sheryl Crow.
See, you're stupid. You don't know anything about country and western music.
Well, hold on
that
a minute.
Tammy
what is that?
Wynette.
That says Tammy Wynette.
No, I'm sorry. That was an honest mistake. That is Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
All right, that's... And the way you're rating country and western music singers, you are stupid, man. You don't know anything about country and western singers.
Excuse me, I made an honest mistake. And
yeah.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have been honest about my appraisal of music, and you're angry because I'm getting it right.
What?
All right.
You're wrong.
What's wrong about...
You said Tammy Wynette was Sheryl Crow, and you keep... Why do you keep repeating you're a gay man? What's the deal about that?
Okay, so here comes your homophobia. Is that it?
No, why do you have to keep repeating that? Nobody said anything about that, but you keep repeating it about every other thing.
Because you know I'm gay, right?
Well, yeah, you said you were.
All right. The reason why I say that is because it gives you... Now you know why I could possibly be right, because I have... My vision is clear. Now, number four on the list is Shania Twain.
Shania Twain, number four top country artist of all time.
Yep.
But you don't even know what these people sing, so you can't rate them.
Yes, I do. Shania Twain sang a song. It's called I Feel Like a Woman.
Yeah. Well, how come you said that Tammy Wynette was Sheryl Crow? I mean, if you're so...
Well, let me ask you, you know, I'll know how much...
this stuff.
Okay, let's get down to the nut cutting. What do you think of Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash was—he should be about number one or two on the list.
That shows you what you know.
Yeah,
Well, Johnny Cash was good, but the traditional thinking is, oh yeah, he ought to be number one. Where do you hear who's number one? Yeah, cigarette. Johnny Cash, I got him down. He's at 87.
All right, listen, Jonesy, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Sheryl Crow.
That ain't Sheryl freaking Crow.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're back with Doug Danger. Doug, who is this on the list?
All right, so I think this is Shania Twain, and
don't you know?
Well, now this is a guy.
I'm sorry, no. This is Brooks and Dunn. See her when she's, but if you're playing them out of order, so.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Doug Danger about the top 100 country artists of all time. And that was who?
Well, that was Brooks and Dunn. They're number three. Number four is Shania Twain. And I've got a... If you've got the... But I wanted to play an example, because the guy wanted to hear Sheryl Crow, and I wanted to play an example of Sheryl Crow's music. Because, again, she takes the place, I think, of Patsy Cline. Patsy Cline was garbage compared to Sheryl.
I hear people talking bad about the way...
That's
I'm sorry, did I get that?
That sounds like Merle Haggard to me.
I know that's not Merle Haggard. I think that's Willie Nelson.
All right, I don't know anything about this music, so...
Turn it up, because this is a good example of what Willie can do. Here's Willie Nelson. And again, I don't mean to make a comment about him smoking dope, but, you know, he does, you know.
Yeah, walking on.
See, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I still get into this. Walking on the fighting side of me. Don't run my country down, because you're pissing me off and tightening my jaws.
If you don't love it, leave it, let this song...
Okay, I got to tell you, Doug.
What?
This is Merle Haggard, according to my engineer, Mark Newman.
Well, that's bullcrap.
No, it's not. It's Merle Haggard. It's not Willie Nelson. So let me... Look, let's just get back to the list.
Let's do that, because I'm not there. I don't know what he's playing, and I don't know how familiar your engineer is with country music. But I feel, again, really what I wanted to say more than anything else is that doing this list of the top 100 artists of all... country artists of all time... has been so gratifying and has been so uplifting for me, because, as I said, I am now helping people who thought they were country music fans. I'm helping them not be so stupid. And I've painstakingly listened very close to these artists for the past 2 weeks to come up with a list. Excuse me. And as a gay man and a gay journalist, this music speaks to me. It speaks to the gay man and the hard road that I've traveled. You know, if you'll pardon the expression, because a lot of people like to make a joke about that.
All right. So we got number four, Shania Twain.
Number four. Number three, Brooks and Dunn. And you just heard them. They were the ones doing My Maria.
Okay, I like that song. I used to play that for my wife.
Well, they're outstanding, Brooks and Dunn. The number two, Hank Williams, who, not Hank Williams Jr., and people will often ask, okay, can I tell? Hank Williams Jr. is the guy who sings, "Are You Ready for Some Football?" That his father is the one I'm talking about.
No, Hank Williams, I know. Cold, Cold Heart. I mean, Why Don't You Love Me Like You Used To, all those songs.
Right, all of that. Well, you know a lot of this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. How do you know about this music?
I got a Hank Williams CD.
Well, Hank Williams would have made it to number one, but he died, and you weren't really. He died at the age of 26. He had a bad liver, a bad kid, everything. He was all messed up. And if he had lived longer, he might have been greater, or he might have made an ass out of himself.
You mean his writing would have gotten worse?
Yeah, he would have done some dumb songs. And then I'd feel bad about putting him at number one.
Which brings us to number one, the number one country artist of all time on Doug Danger's list.
Bill, I'm very proud to announce our number one country artist of all time, the great Buck Owens.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
All right, I gotta check that.
What?
Okay, I'm being told that we're not playing Buck Owens.
Bull crap! I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
this ain't Buck Owens, man. This is.
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. Don't piss me off. I'm gay.
Doing things that you don't understand.
All right, I don't know. I mean,
well, you said you don't know any. Just shut up and listen to the music, okay?
But if you love him, you'll forgive him.
I think Buck Owens, I mean, you're disgracing him.
Even though,
yeah, okay,
he's hard to understand.
Buck Owens, oh, excuse me.
Buck Owens is better than Patsy Cline.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Patsy should never try flying that plane, man. What a mistake.
Cause after all.
But as opposed to who's singing right now, Buck Owens, he never tried flying a plane.
Not that I know of. And I'm gay.
Stand by your man.
All right, Doug, I gotta.
Are you homophobic or.
I'm getting out of this bit because that ain't Buck Owens.
Well, my understanding is, let me.
Look, I got a caller in. Brandy?
Yeah.
Go ahead, hon. You're on with Doug Danger and Phil Henry.
You know, Doug, I don't know who the hell hired you, but they're wasting their money, man. You don't know anything about country music.
I'm a gay man.
By the way, I'm a gay woman, and you're giving me a bad name.
How you figure that?
Keep it saying over and over and over again, it has nothing to do with being gay. It has to know about knowing music. Where are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles, California. Well,
you're proving it right now, buddy. Everybody that's listening that's from the South, myself included, is horrified. This is awful.
Wait a second.
Johnny Cash. You're not mentioning any. Merle Haggard? Johnny Cash is 87? Are you on drugs? Are you smoking the same thing that Ray is smoking?
Let's turn the music off so, Doug, you can have a conversation with us. This is Phil Henry, Brandy. Now, there's a.
This is exactly why I did this list, Phil, so that this gay woman. Lesbian, I think, is what it's called. Anyway, Jesus.
What difference does it make, dude? What difference does it make?
Thank you very much.
All right, well, let me say this. You play fastball?
Do I play fastball? What does that have to do with me and liking country music? Tell you what, from the state of Texas, and in Texas you listen to country music. I'll tell you right now, I'm Los Angeles, you don't know anything about country music, buddy, and the guy that hired you is wasting his money.
Hey, let me ask something. Are you denying that Merle Haggard is good?
No,
that's what you're doing. That's what you were just saying.
No, she wasn't.
You did not mention. You put Merle Haggard. What number did you have him at?
I got Merle at 51.
51! 51! This is making me laugh.
Wait a second. What are your credentials?
87. What do you got Garth Brooks at?
Garth Brooks is number 7.
What do you got Tim McGraw at?
Tim McGraw is 11.
Loretta Lynn. This is ridiculous.
Loretta Lynn's 81.
81?
Yeah.
Absolutely, this is horrible. And yeah,
wait.
Number one.
All right, can I jump in? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
That has nothing to do with it. I don't want you to stop saying that because it's starting to piss me off.
It has nothing to do with you liking or not liking
country music and being a critic and having the credentials to be a critic of country music.
Honestly,
you're making me mad on two points. One, you know nothing about country music. And two, you being gay has nothing to do with the fact that you could or could not like country music. So stop saying that.
Look, Miss Lesbian, all you know about is Melissa Etheridge music and a hairy armpitted woman's music festival, okay? Now,
that's
I'm going to try...
Can we get off the gay thing?
All right, hold on. You said you're trying to make us all smart. That's a very ignorant remark you just made.
That was. It's stupid. Let's get it off of sexual orientation and get it back in the music.
Okay, let me ask this lady something. Who's this?
I can't hear it.
Can you hear this, Brandy? Can you hear the music?
No,
all right, look. Can you hear it now? Brandy?
Yeah, is that Loretta?
She thinks it's Loretta. No, it's Tammy Wynette. See, that proves it.
She can't hear it.
I can't pick it out off of static and read over my cell phone. That proves nothing. You putting Johnny Cash at 87.
What is it with you and Johnny Cash? The guy couldn't sing.
Oh, my Lord. He had a beautiful voice. Listen to that baritone. What are you talking about? He couldn't sing.
Well, what about that last album he made?
The man was a very elderly man when he made the last album. He'd also lost his wife.
He was suffering from liver cancer, glaucoma.
Well, Merle Haggard had some.
And he still managed to come through with the song like Cold. What are you talking about?
Well, Merle Haggard had a pill problem, and he sounded great. So I don't know.
I have not once denied. I think Merle Haggard is one of the greatest singers, country music players of all time. I'm not denying that at all. What I'm saying is...
What is this?
I want to ask the lady, who's this?
She can't hear it, man. She's on a cell phone. Okay?
All right, well, this is... I don't know who this is. This is Willie Nelson.
I'm not on the fact that you know Sheryl Crow was a country singer, too, by the way. That's classic.
Oh, wait a second. You're telling me Sheryl Crow isn't a country singer? She's been a waitress? What makes you think she's not a country singer?
What? Because she was a waitress,
that makes her a country singer. Good correlation, bud. I'm not quite sure where you're going with that one.
Well, wait. You know as well as I do
considering she's had one song on the country, any country music station that I've ever heard of, which is her most recent song.
Now, in the article, I want to jump in here. You've got Buck Owens / Dolly Parton. What does that mean?
You know, I think you give gay people a bad name.
You know what? I have only mentioned myself being gay to say that it's not necessary to mention being gay. It has nothing to do with liking a certain kind of music.
Well,
unless you like the Backstreet Boys because you're gay.
Wait a second. I don't like the Backstreet Boys because I'm gay. I like them because they're quality entertainment.
There you go.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Does anybody else hear this? There you go.
Hey, Phil.
Is your country music critic that just said the Backstreet Boys are quality music.
You know something, Phil? I'll take it from Butch here, but I don't want to take it from you, okay? Keep your mouth shut.
All right, don't call her Butch.
You can say whatever you want, buddy, because you're right online, pal.
Hey, Brandy, Johnny Cash was a hack. The last thing he did was a Nine Inch Nails song. He realized he better record some decent music before he crawled into a bottle and died.
That's a horrible thing to say about that man who's recently departed. And a lot of people, and he never did anything to you. He sang a lot of great songs.
You know what?
This is
absolutely ridiculous. But I will say this. If whoever hired you, whoever you work for is listening, get a new critic.
All right. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll play a Johnny Cash song. Here's Johnny Cash for Brandy.
Johnny Cash, no, he's a great country music player. It's hard to
be a woman. This isn't Johnny Cash.
Accident.
Get it out of here. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. six.
The Phil Henry Show website, by the way, at www.philhenryshow.com is the place to go for all things Phil Henry. We are at present selling things in our souvenir shop of a wide variety of things that you can pick up for your friends, for your neighbors. What is this? Is this January? So Valentine's Day is coming up, right? I probably wouldn't advise getting... Well, why not? You could get your wife or your sweetheart, for instance, for Valentine's Day. You don't think we have stuff for women on our website, but we do. In our souvenir shop, we have the Spa at Western Estates Terry Velour robe. This is a robe designed by Bobby Dooley herself. It's Terry Velour. This is the real deal. It's a gorgeous thing. And you can get that for your girlfriend or your wife or, you know, the babe in your life at www.philhenryshow.com. Also, the Western Estates polo shirt's a good one for the guys. We always get a big request for our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, Citizens Auxiliary Police clip-on compass watch, Citizens Auxiliary Police cap, Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, so on and so forth. So please, you know, when you're thinking about the one you love, think of a Citizens Auxiliary Police clip-on watch. No, I don't know what you'd think of, but I mean, you know, there's something there for everybody. www.philhenryshow.com. May I take the time right now to thank Adam Carolla for being in our pilot? I haven't had a chance to call you, Adam, and I haven't had a chance to email you, but Adam is doing a voice in our pilot for Fox, and man, I'm blown away that he would do that for us, and we're proud to have you, and I understand that you are funnier than hell, man, and he was recording on Monday, and it was a day off, and I didn't get the word, or I wasn't told. I probably just forgot it being a holiday. But I would have loved to have been there because he's a funny cat, and we're very proud to have had him in the show. I just wanted to sort of say that because I didn't get a chance to be there for that one. And then one final little piece of business here. Our XM radio listeners, please be advised we are now heard on Extreme Channel 152. That's Extreme Channel 152 airing 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Sheryl Crow. Speaking of the music business, man, those guys have got problems, baby. Right here in River City, it starts with D and it ends with S, and that stands for downloads. The recording industry on Wednesday sued 532 computer users it said were illegally distributing songs over the internet. They still don't understand what has happened. See, people, you know... You don't turn honest citizens into thieves unless there's a compelling reason for them to begin to thieve. Now, you can say, well, why don't they go and buy the CD? I'll tell you why they don't go buy the CD, because it's economically not feasible. I asked my kids this question. Now, maybe my kids are lying sacks of crap, which I suspect at times they are, but and they don't know what I was getting at. I just asked them, I said, hey, guys, would you download music? And they do, so if you want to come and arrest us, you know, I guess you can find us. Would you download music if it was cheaper? Well, like, how much do you? I said, like, $5 a CD. No, we'd go buy it. Okay. I mean, I realize it's probably a kind of a simple question, and maybe it's not very scientific, but the facts remain. The product out there is overpriced. Way overpriced. Way overpriced. And like baseball, like other areas of entertainment, as I told you guys this, and it's beginning to happen, it'll take, like I said, another 50 years to really play itself out. The entertainment business is beginning to shrink. It's not the big cash cow it used to be. Yeah, sure, I know. Football makes all kinds of money, and the marketing in basketball kicks ass. Nobody cares about baseball anymore, as you well know. Music is too expensive. Kids are going around the music companies and downloading it. And the music companies, whether they're the record companies or the artists themselves, just sit there with their thumb up their ass, thinking that life is moving along the way it was in the 70s or the 80s. It ain't, baby. Those halcyon days are over. You better get yourself a handful of halcyon. What'd you think of that ad lib? All right. You probably couldn't hear that because I had him in cue. And I'm telling you right now, just because, you know, Pink can't get her limo rides or, you know, Christina doesn't have the right kind of chaps to wear, man, I don't know what to tell you about that, baby. It's done. Finished. They're going to have to get out on a street corner and sing for their supper. I tell you what, I'll pay Pink very handsomely. Handsomely. If she'd like to become the official minstrel of the Henry House, she can just stroll from room to room. You know, ring, ding, 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 ding. What's that new tune she's got out? It's fantastic. It's called Kiss My Ass, something like that. It's great. All right, we'll leave you tonight. Oh, shoot, I didn't put it in. I was going to leave you tonight with Sheryl Crow, but I guess I'll do that another night. 1-800-449-8686. You know, Sheryl Crow, the one that did Stand By Your Man? It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.